Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, Mark and Ian. This is the Futile Podcast. If you want to find us, or if you've already found us and want to continue to be able to find us, you should subscribe on iTunes. Search Futile Podcast. www.graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. Granat, like pomegranate for short. Send us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com. I just think that tonight we're going to do a podcast. It's going to elicit some emails, I think, possibly.
It could
very well. Tonight we're talking about Crank 2.
Crank 2. Is this high voltage?
Crank 2, high voltage. Just crank, high voltage. They didn't even put a 2 in front of it. Took a crank and then made it high voltage.
Okay, I got you. I can dig it.
You can dig it, yeah. Yeah, that was Corey Haim, huh?
I didn't catch it at first.
I never did. This is the second time I've watched Crank. And I'm always like, who is that scuzzy looking whatever guy?
Andy, dude.
Andy. Oh my gosh. Hey, man, Carradine.
He almost had to lay down the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Or drop the hammer. Oh, wow. I need to drop the hammer. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's got action-packed. You got
your... Non-stop, pretty much.
Non-stop. You got the stars.
The stars come out for Crank 2.
The stars came out. They were shining bright. There is a solemn moment, the silence for David Carradine and Corey Haim.
Of course.
That's enough. Okay, maybe a little longer.
Yeah,
we're good. I'm just going to straight out say I highly recommend this movie. If you're in a bad mood, it's good for the soul.
It's spirit lifting.
Spirit soared, mm-hmm. like the eagle. Was that REO Speedwagon?
Yes. Keep on loving you.
Keep on loving you. Wow.
I'm gonna keep on loving you. Mike Patton sort of arranged the music and did the original music.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, really?
Handsome Jesus. Boy modeling school and stuff. Mike Patton's got his fingers in many sinister soups these days.
Wow, that's cool.
All kinds of sort of creative, bizarre, experimental kind of stuff.
Yeah, because Faith No More goes back to the late 80s, right?
I think so, yeah. They were around for a while. I don't know if they're not around anymore or if they're just like one of those indefinite break bands, you know?
Right.
Who knows? But yeah.
Roots are on a little Humboldt County.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's a little piece of Humboldt County and Crank, high voltage. Yeah. I take comfort in that fact.
I'm sure there's probably a lot of Humboldt County.
This is like the best I'm going to sleep tonight in like months.
Really?
Really.
After watching Crank,
I'm at peace.
You're at peace? Yeah. You're at one?
I'm one.
It's definitely one of those sort of films. It's a transcendental sort of experience. It's like a Tarkovsky film or something. It's sublime. And it's viewing... You can't overanalyze it. You just have to sort of let it wash over you, let it immerse you in its textures.
It teaches valuable lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to eat the mustard.
Yep. Teaches you about karma.
Karma, yeah. Karma's a bitch.
Indeed.
Poor old David. He had some wild tongue action, though. I'm like, is that like a... stunt tongue? Or
who knows, man. Probably not.
Probably not. That's pretty crazy.
And that's how he got started in Kung Fu.
I was searching out the greats, but I only recognized one. I was a little disappointed. Maybe you're a little more up on the ins and outs of the biz. But Ron Jeremy, the whole bunch of porn stars.
Ron Jeremy and...
No, Peter North. He's probably too big for this shit now.
Maybe.
That's too bad.
Jenna Hayes.
I recognize that name.
Yeah. That's about it. I mean, really, that scene is very incidental, and on a second viewing, it didn't go anywhere, really. I mean,
You know, one thing I did notice, the fake boobs are starting to leak out a little bit, literally.
Yeah, that shootout that happened at the,
Well, it's just, you know, a lot of the strippers and a lot of the boobs in this movie were real. And that was, you know...
And they made their point about, you know, the dangers breast implants.
Yeah, just ask poor old Tara Reid. Jesus Christ. She's got like her own
Eon. She wasn't story. In this movie, was she?
No, she wasn't.
She should have been. She would have been perfect.
Could have.
Maybe Crank 3.
Crank 3. And what would the byline be for that?
I'm not sure yet. When they come up with it, I'm sure it will exist 5 weeks later completely.
Crank 3, Connuclear. Yeah, so what can you really say? I can't really say a whole lot other than a bunch of gibberish.
Well, it starts right where the first one left off. I mean, and honestly,
don't feel afraid if you haven't seen the first one to jump right in.
Yeah, I gave Mark a crash course in Crank 1 and just sort of set the stage so he wouldn't feel too much like what's going on. But to be honest, the first one starts in kind of a what's going on scenario, too.
All based around Chelios.
Yeah. Hitman extraordinaire.
Gratuitous violence, gratuitous nudity, sexuality. I'd love to see TVMA. Cocksuckers. What are they called? There you go.
Unedited director's cut?
No. You don't where they just list everything that's good for you. You know, it's like nutritional information for movies.
Oh, man, good point.
It's like it'd be like the MAA.
Yes.
Or they just go straight to adult. I don't know what they'd call this, ultra adult.
This is a hard R, is what they call this.
It's a hard R.
Hard R.
It's not NC-17. Was this director's cut?
I don't know.
I don't see getting the hard R with the leaking silicone.
Well, they did certain things because the MPAA, its rules are ridiculously arbitrary to a degree where, I mean, they did things where they kept it close on certain shots and they just focused on things in a way that I think you can... They probably cut around it to a degree. Now, it might be very close to an NC-17 in terms of...
That's true. When you think back to, like, RoboCop, which is one of the ultimates of the 80s gore.
Yeah. The visceral violence of RoboCop.
The visceral violence, you know? Guys turn into mud monsters or toxic waste,
Avengers. Yeah, toxic Avengers.
And turn into, like, soup on windshields.
Liquefy in the van hits them.
And, well, the hand's the ultimate for me. The hand was always...
The hand is a big deal, yeah.
The hand was a pretty big deal. You don't really get that still. I mean, like you said, they kind of cut around a little bit. You feel the violence more than see it.
Yeah, it's still effective. It's just not... It's not played for seriousness at all.
That's
you
true.
Don't RoboCop really empathize with anybody. I mean, in RoboCop, you empathize with Dr. Peter Weller... When he gets his hand shot off, I mean...
I wonder if anybody calls him Doc. I feel like that was like his nickname or something in a movie.
Who knows? He's been in a lot of movies.
He was in a lot of movies, and it's not too late. I hope, you know, he can come out of retirement.
Oh, I'm sure he'll do a movie every
Richard
now and again.
Richard Crenna's gone from us now, but...
Yeah.
We could team... Sam Elliott's still kicking. They could be kicking down doors again at a theater near you.
Hopefully someday. You'd pay good money to see
Shakedown
2.
Shakedown 2.
Shakedown High Voltage.
With the dude from the Saturn commercials. He blew up.
I think so.
Him and Elgato Negro, they both blew up. That's too bad.
That is too bad.
And what's his fuck with the... Oh, I'm going to get off on a tangent here. It's just, that's some good material.
Yeah.
You know, check out the old podcast. We did a hardcore
Shakedown.
The Shakedown podcast, because you can only talk about Sam Elliott kicking down doors so many times in your life. And it's just one of those experiences, you know, it's like getting drunk, getting laid, you know, tattoos, whatever. Sam Elliott kicking down doors. If you can't be there to witness it in person. You can talk about it with your friends.
That cyberized guy that had, like, the right. gun arms and stuff.
Right. I was trying to... Yeah, shit.
A total classic.
Yeah, it was kind of like an odd job kind of guy. Because he didn't really talk a whole lot.
No.
He'd talk a little bit.
Just a cleaner. He was a sweeper.
And, you know, again, there were lessons in that movie that you can kind of... you can kind of bring over to Crane. I mean, it's all an evolution.
Yeah, it's showing the consequences for certain lifestyle choices, certain sort of irresponsible behavior.
For most people, the only way is to pay, but for some, there might be another.
Yep.
And you see, I've lived my life, and look where I am now, living off of these credos.
Yeah. This is why, we take a moment to explore.
Enjoy the crunchier sides of life.
Yeah. Explore these things and just really flesh out those
situations. It's not about exploitation so much as it's about exploration.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Corey Haim showed that he had a little more to offer.
Yeah.
And fortunate, we feel, to have experienced that before he cast off his mortal coil.
Indeed. Untimely.
Untimely. Man, how many times could it all come crashing down? I mean,
I don't know. We'll see how many Crank movies they can make.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Maybe there's like a petition somewhere, you think?
I think that...
Not that I think...
It's an odd genius.
An odd genius.
Of a movie. And, it's almost baffling to me that anyone would ever finance something like that.
Well, you were saying, Nolan, I mean, eventually people, whoever, they have some success and they can start with their pet projects.
Yeah, but these guys pretty much started with this.
Well, I was wondering, who the fuck was the guy that did Gamers?
That was Neville Dean and Taylor. It was these guys.
They did Gamer. Because it's the whole, you can feel it in the way they shoot the movie, because they have a first-person gamer.
Yeah, they've got their own style. I mean, they're not jobber directors at all.
Jobbers?
Well, you know, like the people who direct a
like
movie,
the lifers,
direct a movie competently, but don't really give it anything that's unique to that. To them having
different
done
kinds
it.
Of directors, I know that much.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that there's also that handful of directors, like, I don't know, like Martin Brest or something, where it's like,
Brest.
Well, it's like, yeah, he's directed a bunch of movies. He's a jobber. It's like, what has he really done? Like what? When you watch one of his movies, do you ever get a sense that
he
it's
gave
his
Charles
movie?
Grodin a chance, man?
Yeah, sure, he did.
You just keep doing
but it's like, well, there's nothing stylistically or like thematically. There's really nothing that he brings to a project that any other just competent director wouldn't bring. I mean, he does it as a job, and he does it fine. He does it well. And he lets his actors work, and, you know, so you end up with good performances and decent stories because the scripts are good and the actors are good. And
I give you that. You throw Yaphet Kotto in there.
Yeah.
And the shit just writes itself.
It's solid. Or Bobby D, or, you know.
It kind of reminds me of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And actually, you know, I'm not even going to go there.
But we'll see. But Raiders of the Lost Ark, you got
now,
Spielberg.
I'm tainting the waters here. Okay, I'll bring it out. You know, then where God takes control of the movie cameras and everything, you know, with the lightning bolts going through everything.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel this works.
Yeah.
Yaphet Kotto, lightning bolts.
Lightning bolts. Yeah.
And see how it all comes together. You were talking about Homicide, Life on the Street, episode five,
where they're stuck in the middle. Yeah.
It's a small world.
It's a depending on how small of a person you are, certainly.
I'm a big guy. Yeah. I take up real estate, and it's more and more expensive every year.
Indeed.
Well, it was. Things could, we were seeing the downtrend, but things will pop back. They're popping.
Definitely. Hopefully. But we'll we'll see.
Again, bringing it to real genius with the popcorn. It's just spider webs, man. Spider webs. I mean, think about this. This technology could save dying orphans somewhere.
Battery pack hearts and everything.
You know, the greatest man in the world, we could have a floating head in an aquarium someday.
That's true.
And he could just keep on...
Keep on loving you.
Keep on loving you. Wow, the dropkick.
Man,
that was about ready to fall out of the chair.
Yeah, the dropkick.
The dropkick.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, wasn't he? I keep thinking he was like a football player. Maybe not.
You mean Statham? You thought he was a footballer?
Yeah, wasn't he a footballer? Or rugby or some
I'm
shit?
I'm not sure.
I thought he was something.
He was a grifter.
He is a grifter.
That's how Guy Ritchie found him. He was a grifter.
Damn. Poor Guy Ritchie. I still snatched a bit.
No, he's got some great movies.
I watched that. Well, I didn't really enjoy... You know, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels was passable. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I watched Snatch first. And that movie just... Just the simplest little shit would just bust me up.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's definitely a good one. I think,
I just think about the sausages, and I'm going to start... In fact, I got to push it back.
Yeah. You know, weld up and...
I'm going to weld up.
No, I mean, the guys that did Crank 2, we'll see what they do. I mean, they did Gamer. It was a little more conventional, but it still had that sort of style and sensibility.
It had Chili Dog.
And Chili Dog.
And that's close to my heart. Yeah,
we'll see... We'll see how they do as a director.
I think it's because, you know what it was, is it taught me the errors of my ways, because
10,
15, 20 years from now, I could be Chili Dog.
I don't know.
You know, with the Karo syrup or whatever the fuck
it was.
Yeah,
the Karo and the handful of pancakes that were just kind of folded up.
Ooh, yeah. Who makes those pancakes anyway?
I don't know. McDonald's or something?
McDonald's? Maybe? Do they like to send it via...
McDonald's hotcakes. If the Colonel was smart, he'd start catering to breakfast.
Man,
and doing chicken fried waffle breakfast. It's a plan for the Colonel.
I really want to eat those potato donuts.
Donuts?
If I ever end up in Spokane, and if you ever end up in Spokane, you check it out too.
Weren't we in Spokane a couple times?
I didn't know about that. Or maybe it was Olympia. I don't remember now, but someplace up in Washington they make potato flour donuts. Well, they're like half potato flour and they're half, wheat flour, regular flour. But it makes them a lot lighter and fluffier. It sounds gross, but apparently they're really awesome, and they're a lot less... They don't give you that sickly, crappy feeling because they're so much lighter,
huh.
And they're less greasy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess there used to be like a chain across the United States, but they all folded except for one.
The donut conspiracies crushed them. They conspired to crush them. The Krispy Kremes conspired to crush them.
Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. More than likely. It sounded like it was a real mom and pop kind of thing. And this one restaurant that's left, the Survivors, is like a family endeavor. It's been in the family for 50 years, 60 years or some shit.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Definitely.
I watched that on like the Travel Channel. You know, I saw Samantha Brown.
In real life?
Walking a dog. No. But I go through these periods of life where I don't have access to this information, or I'm too lazy to like look it up.
Really. And then
I'm immersed in it, and it just it's like saturates my brain and all this goodness, and I just got to keep
on loving you.
I got to keep on loving me.
Maybe loving you, yeah.
Yeah, loving me, So I mean, I'll try that on for size.
And that's what Crank 2 is all about. Crackers. Just the oversaturation of media culture and violence and sex and everything. It's just it's a great satire. No, I mean, all of what you're saying is relevant to Crank High Voltage.
Really, everything is.
I kept making the point,
it all comes together.
It's the alpha and the omega of cinema and art. Music, fine art.
It's the flux capacitor of art.
Sure.
Why not?
Exactly. It's no DeLorean, but it's okay. It works. It takes you to a future, back to a future, where this is just what happens. People just run rampant on city streets, and it makes you wonder, you know, what it would be like to live in a city like the metro city of Crank.
L.A.?
Presumably, yeah.
Pretty sure it was L.A. The dude that played the newscaster, I recognized him from something.
That's Q.
It's Q.
From Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, really?
John Lansing.
Oh,
he was also
shit.
The gynecologist in A Hand That Rocks a Cradle.
Oh, the one that, like, violated...
Rebecca De Mornay, yeah.
No, Annabella.
No, it was, I think it was What's Her Name, but and then she lost a kid. That was the beginning of the movie.
Oh, so that's why she was so psycho.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that part.
No, they kind of set up sympathy for her character with that part.
She's disappeared, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. No, John Lansing was most recently featured in season 2 and 3 of Breaking Bad, the AMC show. It's pretty good.
Breaking Bad. It's crazy. Everybody's got shows now.
Yes, a lot of shows.
There are lots of shows.
Well, it's a pretty good time for TV, to be honest.
It's really breaking...
They've sort of figured out how to do smaller shows, fewer episodes, higher quality...
Well, you know what it was, and you gotta give it, you gotta,
yeah,
you gotta give it to HBO.
The HBO thing has been figured out by, like, FX and by AMC and stuff.
And it didn't always work out for HBO, but they took chances on shows that made no sense to the big networks. There's no fucking way those shows would have run. I mean, there are those few quirky ones, like Seinfeld, where you really wonder how, you know, just some executive fell in love with it, and that was pretty much the only reason it kept ticking along.
Well, it was also organized around a 3-camera traditional with a laugh track sitcom. If you think about it, its stories are still pretty sitcom-ish. It's just that it's high-end. It's like Cheers. It's like Barney Miller. It's that handful of very few 3-camera laugh track
sitcoms.
That's
true. It's like crappy movies. I mean, think of how many shows out there.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers whatsoever.
Or how many shows are on that just, like, hold a place. You know, like...
Like 2.5 Men?
Yeah, exactly. Like this.
I heard he makes, like, 2 million an episode.
I got no idea who watches
That's
these
That's how
sitcoms.
He can afford, you know...
A new wife
cars
every 2 weeks?
Going down into the gullies all the time and...
A new wife and, every 2 weeks.
Well, no, between the two of them, they're going to cost him $105,000 a month.
Not
I'm like
bad.
That's. I mean, he just needs to.
Christmas comes every month now, huh?
Jesus Christ! You know, I just
you're
in
and out, aren't you?
I'm in and out. It's like the History Channel and E.
History Channel and E.
They
wow.
balance.
They do.
It's the yang and the yang.
You almost get to feel like an intellectual when you watch a little bit of History Channel.
And then I just blow it all in hell with like
yeah, by
Rice
watching
Krispie Treats.
Sitting there and watching Marino Menudos on E or whatever. I mean, we're getting to the end here, and that's what something like Crank 2 is all about. It's all about what happens in the end when you just don't care that your flesh is on fire because it's over anyway, you know? See you later.
That's pretty cool.
Give him the final salute, you know?
Yeah.
Give him the one-finger salute. And that's what we have.
Yep, in a nutshell.
Give Crank a 3.5 out of 5.
I'll give it a 3.5.
And,
It's about as far as I could go with that kind of movie.
Yeah. That's the thing, too.
It's like I didn't even want to... I didn't want to breach the ground into Where's the Lost Ark, because it's a completely different part of my brain.
Oh, yeah. No. Crank 2 operates on a level, like I said, like a Tarkovsky film. It's sublime.
It's like a drug. I know it's not healthy for me, but that's why I like it.
Indeed, and you're right, there's only a certain...
It's like, how would you feel about small children watching this movie?
There's only a certain amount of it you can watch at a time, and then there's only a certain
it's
degree
like
in which
so
you can go.
Donuts you can eat before you puke.
Yep. And Crank 2 kind of rides that asymptotic line there. It pushes the envelope.
But it did give me a nice, healthy dose of Dwight Yoakam.
Indeed. Dwight
I can only think of one other movie he was in. Maybe a couple.
He's been in a bunch of movies. He was in Sling Blade. He was in Panic Room.
Oh, that's right. He was the bad guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not in a bunch of movies, but when he's in stuff, he's always good. And he chooses strange roles that are... completely outside of what you would expect from some, like, country music guy. You wouldn't expect that he would be choosing these movies that you gotta think that
well,
there's not a lot...
Like, I don't think he was ever confused with, like, Brooks and Dunn.
Maybe
or
not.
Alabama.
Yeah, maybe not, but, like, do you think his country music fans, like, are watching Panic Room or watching Crank 2? Maybe now.
Maybe, yeah.
The crossover's there, but you know what it's definitely not a middle America... In terms of the stereotype of middle America
being
you know loving their country music and their
the meth
down home wireless and stuff, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
So yeah. So it's an interesting, interesting situation. But yes,
yeah. You know, it does make you wonder how far. Well, it's like, you know, what I always start to wonder about old music becoming old. I mean, it's like The Chronic, mm-hmm. or say Pretty Hate Machine, or
Joshua Tree.
No, that's no. I don't know, go a little heavier industrial, like Ministry or something.
Ministry, yes.
You know, or actually, you know, it's kind of the same thing, all the way back to the punk shit, and it's always been an underground, but when it crosses over into popular culture, it, you know, it's like, these are oldies. It's like, how are you going to top this shit, and how crazy can you let it get? It's like, is it eventually, are we going to have like ritual sacrifices on stage and shit? It's like, how far can you push things, or are they gonna, is it gonna be the rogue band effect and snap back?
I think
and that's how I'm gonna have to spend my golden years, is going through that, you know.
That might not be so bad if we go back to,
probably be nice and quiet.
If we go back to the golden years of like nice rock and roll and some jazz, you know.
And some Percy Faye.
I could get behind going to a nice jazz club in my, you know, in my older years and
relax. Samantha Brown dug it. The classic jazz club and all.
Yeah. Well, they're more blues, aren't they?
Club.
I'm sure they have plenty.
Nolan's Jazz.
Dixieland.
That was all jazz. It was mostly trumpets. Yeah. It was like a Miles Davis kind of jazz.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
If you're ever pretty, well, you never will be. If you are, you should check it out.
Who knows, that might be sometime.
You never know. You might get laid over or something.
Yeah. That would be kind of nice.
Gonna have to edit this part out because my brain's a little fried. A few too many tacos, a little too much special sauce, a little too much crunch factor.